welcome to PCB Chat. I'm Mike Buteau, editor of PCDNF and Circuits Assembly. Our topic today is PCB design. There are a number of books on board design available. These range from the very basic to the dense college-level manuals. Today, we're going to talk about The Hitchhiker's Guide to PCB Design. The Hitchhiker's Guide is a new e-book designed to teach all the things industry experts wish they knew when they were starting out. And this is a good time to mention that our sponsor today is EMA Design Automation. EMA is the publisher of The Hitchhiker's Guide to PCB Design. With over 100 pages of content, including checklists, pro tips, and detailed illustrations, you'll gain decades of wisdom in a fraction of the time. Download the free ebook today at go.ema-eda.com/HHG roundtable. Joining us today on PCB Chat are, in alphabetical order, Mike Brown. Mike's a principled PCB design consultant with nearly 30 years in high-speed RF and mixed signal design at a variety of defense contractors and telecom companies. Patrick Davis, Senior Vice President of Rocket EMS. Patrick has more than 20 years designing boards in-house for EMS companies and on a contract basis. Kelly Dack, PCB Design and Design for Manufacturing Liaison at a major Pacific Northwest EMS. Kelly has designed rigid and flex boards since 1980 for the defense, gaming, and telecom industries. Theodore Jakob is a Silicon Valley power systems engineer with 25 years experience and expertise in schematics and board layout. He believes that while tools affect productivity, it is up to the designer to determine the quality of their schematics and layout. Manny Marcano, founder and president of EMA Design Automation, which is the leading reseller of Cadence OrCAD software in North America, and has extended its products and services reach to data management and PLM systems, and training and technical support. David Ruff, principal applications engineer with XJTAG. David has over 15 years experience in digital PCB design. He now focuses on circuit design test. And Mark Thompson, engineering support specialist at Prototron Circuits. Mark has more than 30 years in the PCB industry and is an expert in getting the design package to fabrication. And I also want to mention Joe Buza, who co-authored the book but couldn't join us today. Welcome, everyone.
Pleasure to be here.
Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning.
This is the largest roundtable we've hosted on PCB Chat, and I know it's a chatty bunch, so I'm keeping my fingers crossed that this comes out okay. Manny, let's start with you. What was the goal behind writing the book? Who is the target audience?
Well, it took a team effort, of course, and I appreciate everybody's contributions. The book really is sort of a journey, part of the journey we've been on, and changing from the older demographic, if you will, to the new young engineer or the tall vertical engineer that needs to do a lot of things, but doesn't necessarily have the skill set nor training to do so. And we just felt as a team that we would start this new journey to give people the younger demographic, if you will, give them a path of how do I get this job done without going for years of training and years of gaining years of experience, and just give them the path of least resistance to getting their job done. Part of that philosophy is, you know, we sell tools to do design for manufacturability, design for assembly, and there's just a myriad of details that engineers need to learn. But what I think is lacking in the market right now is fundamentally a design for marketing strategy, because people don't design things for the sake of getting a board to work. They're designing things to make money selling something. And I believe that the engineering environment needs to understand that they're not just fulfilling an electronic task. They're building a product that has a go-to-market strategy. And all the stuff under the covers, DFM, DFA, et cetera, is part of that methodology. And fundamentally, PCB design requires a methodology. And the inherently to that, if you have a methodology, it requires roles to be defined. And therefore, the division of labor below all of that has to be structured. And that's what the book is about, is taking a fundamental design for marketing vision and breaking it down into a division of labor. How do we get this job done cost effectively, efficiently, and meeting our market opportunities?
Now, for those who haven't downloaded and read the book yet, its title is taken from The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, the classic sci-fi book from the 1970s. Manny, whose inspiration was it to base it on that theme?
Well, I'd love to take credit for it, but it it really wasn't my idea at all. It was a little bit of your help, Mike, a little bit of help from your team, in essence, Francis especially. And it's like everything else, it tends to take on a life of its own. Somebody, we have a conversation and it builds up into, hey, I remember this and here's some thought. And that's basically how we came up with the idea. In order to give the new demographic and the established experienced guys some guidelines to how to get their job done to meet the market demands of their organization.
So we have on the call with us Kelly Dack, who describes himself as a reader and a fan of the book. Kelly, was there anything you learned in the process of reviewing the document?
Yes, learned a lot. I have been hearing for years now the question of where is the next generation of PCB designer coming from? And having spent some time up here in the Pacific Northwest Seattle area, I found where they're coming from. They're coming out of the universities. All of a sudden, design industry is being flooded with new graduates that are picking up design tools and starting to lay out boards. They're quick studies and they're very quick to learn the software. However, there appears to be no depth of knowledge with regard to DFM principles and knowledge of the people that they're designing the board for. Another thing I thought that was really bold about the book is that it remains tool agnostic. It's really there to tell the story of Ian, a new PCB designer, and it doesn't mention the tool he's using. It really focuses on the designer and educating the designer about the process, not necessarily the individual tool.
Sure. And Mike Brown, you're a co-author. Could you expound on that? Was there anything that you'd like to add in terms of what you may have learned in the process of putting this together?
Most certainly. Most certainly. As Kelly had indicated, when I first started out 30 years ago now, the industry was predicated on mentorship programs. And that's really how you learn, because there was no real study, so to speak, to become a PCB designer as a career. You either got your EET degree or your EE degree, or you went into mechanical engineering or software systems engineering or something of that nature. And I agree 100% with what Kelly said, is that, you know, with having these young engineers who are brilliant, smart guys coming right out of the universities, and the tools have advanced so much that back in the old hand tape days, now I'm almost predating myself because that came to an end of an era when I started, but back in the hand tape of artwork days, et cetera, the designer really had to know how to actually design a board for functionality and manufacturability, and go through the process of bare board fabrication into assembly. Nowadays, the tool sets are so advanced and the tools have migrated down at the university level that these guys are coming out of school fresh with the knowledge and know-how of knowing how to use the tool, but then they lack the practical experience to make a board producible, to make it manufacturable in mass quantities. And, you know, in sidebar conversations that we've had during the development of the book, you know, we did mention the fact that anybody can get a board fabricated, but they may stumble along the way. And I think the book really outlines stumble with our model here in the book, that throughout that process, you go back to the wheel. Now, granted, the tools make it faster to go back to the wheel or back to the beginning, back to the drawing board, so to speak, but it's still just as costly as it's always been, and in some cases more costly because the chipsets are advanced and they're very costly to assemble. So to produce a one-off board, anybody can pretty much do it fresh out of school, but to produce something that is going to be mass-produced or have a life expectancy as you get further in your career and learn more about the mil specs and IPC specs, et cetera, of class 3 requirements and 20-year lifespan, et cetera, you really have to design something that's going to last.
Patrick, you run a design team at Rocket EMS. Have you handed this off to any of your colleagues to review yet?
I absolutely did. One of the first things I did when I saw this come across my desk is I pulled in a meeting, pulled everybody in and said, hey, guys, go take a look at this. My senior guys have been doing this 20, 30 years, kind of go, yeah, I kind of know this. It's okay. But what was very revealing is the 2 and 3 year junior guys that I have were really enjoying it. They're going, oh, that makes sense. Well, why didn't you tell me this? Oh, I've been telling you this forever, but now that they see it in paper, it clicked for them. And that's what this is really doing. It's a different way of presenting. As was mentioned earlier, is we have this new generation of designers that are coming up. The old farts are starting to retire and having a little bit more fun. We got this new blood coming in, and they learn a little bit different than what we did. When I came in, it was basically throw me in front of the computer, I figured it out, and I went. This tool, this document is going to help people understand the entire flow, which is exceedingly important, especially from my point of view, running this design team and being part of the manufacturing world, because people don't get it. If you can't, you can build anything, as Ian did on this one, but if you can't build it, it doesn't do any good.
And one of the things I found interesting in reading it is that there are elements that don't involve direct board design level responsibilities. For example, there's sidebars on program management, different types of engineers, and so on. Kelly, do you see a value to defining these roles in the book?
Absolutely. There are 6 or 7 stakeholders mentioned in the or identified in the book, and I think it's very valuable that designers know who their customers are. A lot of times we as designers consider ourselves the hub of the whole design and engineering process, and for us that may be true, but we have to understand that a lot of the other stakeholders perceive that without their job, the work won't move forward either. So it takes a collaboration, and identifying who the stakeholders are at the front of the process is key. It's paramount to the success of the overall design. I like the way the book takes the protagonist, Ian, a new graduate, through the process, and through a series of events, he comes in contact to the stakeholders by being sat around a table of all the different stakeholders and is formally introduced to them, and he gets to understand, or he sees what each of the stakeholder responsibilities are. I think the book does a really good job of that.
Now, one of the elements that the book includes is something called pro tips, and I thought those were a nice touch. Should readers pay special attention to those?
Yes, I think our years of experience did teach us a few things, which I would say we've learned them the hard way, and no book or no help manual will teach you those. The first thing you learn when you put your hands on a schematic tool today is where the buttons are and what they do. But they don't necessarily teach you what is the flow, what the end result required, and what are those people who use the product of your work are looking for. I mentioned this in the book, one very simple piece which I've seen repeated along the years. Many schematic designs are purely intent to create a netlist. And they do a very good job in achieving that. Problem is the netlist in the form is shown on a schematic is not readable by your colleagues. They don't understand what your intention was in that design. And then the result is they will not provide you the feedback you are looking for to discover problems early. So we try to give in this pro tip some quick lessons which catch the attention of the reader, and hopefully they help them achieve their design quicker and in fewer turns.
There's quite a bit of information on component assembly, including a walkthrough how the paste is printed and the parts are placed on the board and soldered. Patrick, why do you feel it's important board designers understand these processes?
It's very important that as designers, we understand how everything is built from the bottom up, through the FAD process and through the assembly process, through the test process. When you sit out on the line, and I really encourage every designer to go off, visit their PFAB shop, visit their assembly shops, and watch how they do it, and watch how they struggle when they have a part that's not done right, when you end up having traces that are too close together inside the fab process, specifically to the assembly process, is you're putting down 201s and the CAD design is really easy. Man, I can make this thing super small, not a problem. When you're physically looking at a piece of paper that they're putting down onto a board and they're putting 4,000 of these things down underneath one chip, how do you do that? How do you make that work and have it repeatable? So the assembly process has got to be understood. Understanding the paste process has got to be understood. Paste is where everything starts. How the parts are put down onto there, the amount of volume that's put down onto there, it makes a massive difference.
Now, I don't want to gloss over the fact that this is, at its core, a book about board design. Mike Brown, do you wish you had a book like this when you were starting out?
Certainly. Like I said, you know, a bit earlier, that I was fortunate enough to have some very good mentors in the industry that really pushed the basic understanding and knowledge of how to design a board from the ground up and what it meant to design a pad stack and how is the pad stack defined as far as clearances and thermal release and what that meant for solderability, as Patrick just mentioned, back in the old through-hole days and now through a surface mount. If I had this book in the very beginning, I think it would have leapfrogged me from some of those early onset struggles that I had and would have given me an understanding of the overall process and how my contribution to the engineering team could be impacted for better or for worse if I did or did not do certain things. So I think this book would definitely have benefited me early in my career.
The guide is 116 pages. Was there anything you struggled over whether to include or leave out? I'd like to start with Mark Thompson.
I think we tried really hard to keep it very simple. It wasn't meant to be a definitive guide, but an excellent start. Something that ties everything together. There are basic strategies that need to be followed. Like everybody has said so far, there are a number of new folks that are coming into the industry. We have an influx of new board designers and new engineers, so it's extremely timely in that respect. These folks know the use of their tools, as these guys have said, but they may not know very simple design principles, and they may not know very simple design for manufacturing design principles. The very simple things like identifying vias, buying yourself back real estate. You know, people get told and get mentored over the years that a typical tolerance for a plated hole is plus or minus 3,000ths, and a typical non-plated entity is plus or minus 2,000ths. Give yourself a break. Call that via, if it's a true via, plus 3 minus the entire hole size. This ends up buying you back real estate and routing area that you didn't have before. And these are ultimately little things that the new engineers need to know as they're coming along.
Dave, one of the pro tips you supplied reads, "It helps the test engineer greatly if ground nets have many test points connected which are accessible across the PCBA, but most PCBA designs I see never come close to that requirement." Why do you suppose this is?
It's something that doesn't get considered as part of the design process. When a design engineer typically looks at a board, they're thinking about adding a couple of ground points so they can hook up a scope probe or something. And they're not considering the requirements that might be needed from a test point of view. From a test point of view, especially if you're probing onto a circuit board, you're going to want some ground returns, some level of signal integrity. Taking a specific example of being a JTAG interface, you've got a high-speed communications interface going into a circuit board, and you need to make sure that you've got grounds near those JTAG signals so that you can have the smallest possible sort of loop path in your signals going in and out of the circuit board. Otherwise, you'll end up with noise and communications errors when you're trying to run tests. And it's just a point that just isn't something that a design engineer is particularly thinking about when they're designing a circuit board. And they might put test points on their JTAG signals, for instance, but they don't consider that JTAG signal also needs a ground next to it to make that interface reliable.
And Patrick, was there anything that you felt like you should have maybe included in retrospect, or were you pretty pleased with the overall product?
I was pretty pleased with the overall product. It's a great primer, like we said before, is it gives you just enough of everything to understand what's going on. And as was mentioned before, you could dive into 116 pages on each one of these topics so easily and not even blink. But I'm very, very happy with the quality that came out of this, and the overall feel of it is perfect.
Theodore, you're one of the authors that come to the table with a particular expertise and a philosophy. You know, how did you feel about the overall book?
I wish I had this book back in the 90s when first I started with ORCAD. I went through the book. The books used to be in those days printed and was about, I don't know, 3 pounds in weight. And I went through the process. I understood the tool, but in the end, I did not understand what I need to do, in what order, and what was the flow. That was really missing. The books I was able to put my hands on were focusing on what the tool can do, not what it can do for me. So I think that this book hopefully fills in that gap, which I felt when I started in my career.
Dave, was there anything that you feel you learned in the process of helping to put together this book?
We considered some of the key points of explaining to sort of all users across the life cycle of designs, came up with some ideas about points that we should stress. So having test points next to JTAG test points is something that we will now make more apparent to users who are telling us they're going to use test points as their JTAG interface.
So now that the first book is out, Mike, are you ready for a sequel?
As far as the sequel, yes, I think so. I think, you know, from here, we could take it to the next level. And part of the struggles that we had when developing this book was trying to not get into the minutia of the details. And by nature of being engineering types and PCB designers, you have to be detail-oriented. And it's very hard not to go down a particular path to where we could spend 8 hours on discussion of material stackups and why you pick certain materials for certain things, or you know, why do you design a part for manufacturability, as Patrick said, for the PACE process, and it all starts there. I mean, you can really spend a lot of time and effort on very fine details that, you know, they may seem small, but when you add them all together, it's a really big deal, and it can make or break a product.
Mark, do you think Prototron will start issuing copies of this to the new designers that you work with?
Oh, without a doubt. We deal with the proverbial anywhere between the whiteboard all the way through final assembly and everywhere in between. Most recently, we've been affiliating ourselves with universities, doing a lot in the small satellite realm. So I absolutely see this as a huge tool. Everything being application-based, understanding that there's a series of compromises in your design, I think this is going to be a fantastic read for everybody.
And Manny, as a sponsor, what do you think about the final product?
Well, as the sponsor, I couldn't be happier. I think the results are stunning, to say the least. We've had over 5,000 downloads. The feedback has been very, very positive, to the extent that we've decided to push a hard copy out. So we're working on that, and we'd really would like more information or requests for topics so that we can continue this education. And this is something that I'm committing to, is sort of continuing to educate the community, the industry, and our design community as part of our mission. It's very rewarding to me, after doing this for the better part of my adult life, to be able to give back something meaningful to the industry that served me well for the last 35 years. And just to circle back on to what one of the speakers, Mike Brown, had said, as a first-person experience with Mike Brown and his lack of design discipline 30 years ago here in Rochester, it's apparent that this book not only would have served people well then, it certainly will serve people now and in the future. And I look forward to being the EDA educator, if you will.
Well, that's about all the time we have for today. Readers who would like to offer comments or input are encouraged to download the guide. There is a comment section where they can post feedback. Or email EMA directly at info@ema-eda.com. I'd like to thank my guests, Mike Brown, Patrick Davis, Kelly Dack, Theodore Jacob, Manny Marcano, David Ruff, and Mark Thompson. And I'd like to thank our sponsor, EMA Design Automation. Be sure to download your free copy of The Hitchhiker's Guide to PCB Design at go.ema-eda.com/HHG Roundtable. This is Mike Buteau for PCB Chat. Have a nice day.